And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
The three-day holiday break is nearly upon us. Tis the season, this NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 12, Waiver Wire slash Mailbag Edition. Nick Elberg, Jay Conn, and Pete Jentz. What's going on, Jake?
Not too much, Nick. Just a few days away from Christmas, and the Devils fans get a nice little present under the tree with Jack Hughes returning to the lineup, maybe surprisingly on Sunday, although they did lose that hockey game, to the Buffalo Sabres, by the way, who continue to win every single game, and they've maybe become a bit of a story here.
Pete Jensen is glistening today. Pete, you must be one of the most pumped up NHL analysts out there right now. You look fired up, man. How are you?
Doing well, guys. Yeah, I think Bobby's fired up too. Producer Bobby, nice call by him. The number shortening by the day on the Sabres to make the playoffs. And there are different ways to tap into this team. There's no other way to slice it, right? Like, they have fantasy appeal now, and Jarmo appears to have this ship turned in the right direction, at least for now.
The new GM bump, you love that. Any way you slice it, I couldn't help but chuckle and talk about Jack Hughes returning to the lineup here for the New Jersey Devils. Gets a goal after missing 18 games. But I think, you know, regardless of the fact they lost to Buffalo and the Sabres are on fire, they went 8-10-0 without Jack Hughes in the lineup. I think everybody's getting a bump here, Jake.
I think so, too. We know a lot of the offense goes through Jack Hughes. And I didn't sense he was coming back on Sunday, Nick. I don't know about you. If you heard some rumblings, it sounded like they were going to push this thing back post-Christmas, maybe even post-New Year. And then all of a sudden, I get the notification Jack Hughes is back in the lineup. And what does he do? He scores right away. Now, I'm curious about the shots on goal here. Pete, you know, you come off an injury like this, something to do with the hand, that kind of area. Is he going to maybe shoot a little bit less, only two shots in a game that they were trailing? So I think that's something to monitor here going forward. But what do you think, Pete? Who gets a bump here on this New Jersey team? Obviously, Jack Hughes is back. You activate him into your lineup. Anybody else in the surrounding cast we think maybe gets a boost here with this Devils roster?
I mean, it may seem obvious, but I think Dougie Hamilton gets a little bit of a lift here. It's been really dire straits for him fantasy-wise. People are asking, should they drop him? You shouldn't drop him now that Jack Hughes is back. Nick, I know you have both of them in that one league where they did the YouTube draft. You got to be praising right now, because this is huge for the Devils. They also got Timo Meier back in the same game, and Gritsuk. So they're starting to get healthy here. Maybe they could get back into that fringe playoff conversation here.
Definitely, and I think there's a couple ways to attack this. From the crease perspective, the goaltending has not been good since Jack Hughes went down. I would target Markstrom and Allen right now. And the one guy specifically I'm looking at, guys, Dawson Mercer. 18 games without Jack Hughes in the lineup. Jake, he had one goal and five assists. You remember how hot Mercer was to start the year? I'm jumping back in on that file, I think.
You certainly check out line combos as well. See what the Devils are going to go with here now that Hughes is back in. You know, who maybe gets that garden seat with Jack Hughes? I was even rostering in a very deep league a guy like Connor Brown, who for whatever reason was getting tons of minutes, tons of even strength minutes and producing for the Devils. So we'll see if he maybe gets pushed down a little bit, or heck, maybe they want to continue to use him in some roles, Nick. And I love what you said about the goaltending. Markstrom, I'm a little lukewarm on. I just don't love what I've seen from him this year. But Jake Allen has been really, really good. And he's a guy that might be sitting on a lot of wires out there. I feel like the Devils, the position that they're in, they got to win hockey games. They got to play the goaltender that gives them the best chance. I think Allen is going to get a strong amount of starts here moving forward.
Yeah, it's interesting in that crease, and we've seen a lot of cases around the league, just the volatility. You don't know what you're going to get on a nightly basis, and you're right. Ever since signing that extension, Markstrom has not been good, and certainly I think, to your point, the Devils need wins, and they're going to go with the hot hand. Meantime, guys, the holiday freeze transpiring on Friday night, but not before a couple of deals. We got a mailbag question about Phil Deneau and how would we attack Phil Deneau now that he goes from L.A. back to Montreal? I think this is a curious one, Jake, because there's a potential. I know Oliver Kapanen's been really good in this role lately, but that Deneau could be on that second line. That means exposure to Demidov, Slavkovsky, some of the big boys there.
Yeah, Kapanen and Demidov have had a little bit of chemistry at times throughout the course of the year, but I think the production a little bit inconsistent. And Montreal's, they're a team that, as much as they do have some offensive flair, they like to play these low event kind of hockey games. They don't really push the pace. So maybe Deneau fits in exactly how Montreal wants to play, a little bit of more of a commitment to defense. Pete, I don't know if you see anything with this file. It was kind of a dead file out in LA. Obviously, he wanted out of there. He ends up in Montreal. We knew all along Montreal would be in the market for some sort of second line center. I know people wanted to make the Kadri connection, some of the other guys that might be available. But ultimately, they settle on Philippe Deneau here. Pete, do you see any kind of fantasy boost with him going to Montreal?
I actually picked him up in one league that counts faceoff wins because that's his specialty, and now he's going to be playing with a little bit, you know, a little higher in the lineup and some of those goal-scoring wings, like you mentioned, with Slavkovsky and Demidov. So I do like the spot for him. Montreal has been disappointing over the past month of the season, but this could help correct some of the wrongs defensively, not just Deneau, but also Jacob Fowler. Nice showing from him the other day with the 31-save shutout against the Penguins. So again, and with Fowler, four games so far in his NHL career, 915 save percentage. You got to feel pretty good about that compared to what they were rolling out before.
Oh, definitely. This only strengthens things for the Montreal Canadiens and certainly Samuel Montembeau right now in the American Hockey League. So we're monitoring that goaltending situation. We could see the next three-headed monster when Montembeau does come back. But yeah, I agree with you on Deneau. Like, I think automatically he boosts this team. I'm looking forward to the game on Tuesday night to foreshadow a bit for On the Money coming up later on. I wonder if I just play the Phil Deneau anytime goal, Jake. He has played 30 games this year, 0 goals. 5 assists. This guy was in dire need of a change of scenery.
Well, yeah, and you look at it, and his role in LA wasn't a scoring role, and it actually hasn't been for quite some time, but even in a non-scoring role, he was able to be somewhat productive. I remember he had that chemistry with Warren Fogle for a little while. Fogle was gone in the cooler big time this year, I've always been a huge fan of. Like, he can't put it in the ocean at the moment, so I think everybody was kind of impacted. The only guys in LA that really have been going are the top guys, Kempe, Fiala. It's tough to really own. Like, have you looked at Quinton Byfield's stats this year, Nick? It is just it's a lot of zeros. That's all I can say. So a lot of guys in LA have been struggling. And I do think Deneau, you know, maybe second life in Montreal, probably a bit more minutes in an offensive role. I think Pete's smart for at least making a speculative pickup on him, see where this thing goes over the next few weeks.
Trust me, I know all about QB. A lot of Kings fans sending some Auston Matthews trade requests in my DMs these days. So we're dealing with that. And LA looking for a big time scorer. Who knows down the road what happens here with this Maple Leafs team and who becomes available. Back to the mailbag. A lot of questions as well coming in about Columbus and that sort of random move, but I guess they're going for things. Mason Marchment, Pete, do you like the play there? Is it a guy you're picking up right now, or are you putting him on your watch list?
So I saw in his Columbus debut the other day, he played on the top line with Fantilli, kind of a new look wrinkle with Fantilli and Kent Johnson, and then they're spreading out the rest of the scoring right now. Big red flag with Columbus is Werenski got injured the other day. He's actually been the number one defenseman in fantasy this year, so hopefully he doesn't miss too much time. But in the meantime, there we'll rely on Marchment for net front presence. You saw his first game, scored a high danger goal off a tip-in, so that's what they're going to rely on him for. He'll also cover some categories for you like hits.
I like Marchment quite a bit here and the bump he could possibly get going from an offense that, to me, I just want really no part of. I know Columbus has struggled to win games and technically they're last in the East right now, but it's still an offense that I have interest in. Pete, Nick mentions the Zach Werenski injury. It sounds like it's not going to be anything long term for Werenski. Maybe he misses a little bit of time, but it does sound like he's going to get back in there relatively soon, and that's obviously huge for the offense. Like what they've done with that top line, Marchment making an impact right away. Never been a guy that's afraid to shoot the puck as well. So Columbus trying to spread things out a little bit. I think Marchment certainly in a deep league would be a play for me here moving forward.
Definitely. And we're going to go over some names when it comes to Zach Werenski specifically in coming up with respect to the waiver wire list for week 12. But Damon Severson is a guy maybe you look at here with Columbus if Werenski has to miss some time. But certainly another week and more goaltending concerns across the league. Just very Edmonton. Tristan Jarry out and definitely lower body injury. Now, the big question I have for you guys today, Jake, is it Pickard or Ingram for you?
Oh, boy. This is the worst question ever. I'm going to take Cal Pickard, I guess. I don't feel good about any of it, to be completely honest. But look, the one thing, Pete, and you could tag this, I do trust a little bit more in what Edmonton as a team is doing. If I'm starting Cal Pickard, he might give up 3 goals, and I might not love what I'm getting in the GAA and save percentage category, but they're going to win the game 6-3. So it kind of depends maybe on where your categories are at in that specific week. And no, you know, he's probably not going to get a shutout, more likely than not, unless you get a really good matchup. But Edmonton's chances of winning games, to me, have gone way up. It feels like McDavid is fully back. So I don't mind streaming an Oilers goaltender. Probably wouldn't be my first option, but I do like the fact that I feel confident about a win most nights.
It goes both ways in Edmonton for me. You could take a decent middle-of-the-road goalie, put him in there. He'll get a lot of confidence. We saw it with Jari, even though he was giving up some goals. He was making some big saves for them. And you saw that with Ingram in the victory against Vegas. I mean, who went out there and had the guts to roll out Connor Ingram in fantasy at the end of their week and got a victory? Props to you out there. That's pretty bold. But Connor Ingram, when I look back to his days with the Coyotes, remember that one year he played 50 games and he had six shutouts, tied for the NHL lead. This guy does have some ability. Maybe it kind of resurrects now that he's in Edmonton and getting some playing time in the short term.
Well, I think it's so interesting, too, because you look at the American Hockey League, it wasn't like Ingram was on fire or anything. Like, this was a call-up out of necessity. But I think to answer the question, I think if you were to compare the two and who has the higher ceiling, I think it's Connor Ingram, to Pete's point. Like, not too far long ago, I remember starting last year, I'm like, Ingram should be on Team Canada for the Four Nations. Things could change quickly with respect to the crease. See Samuel Montembeault, who's now in the American Hockey League and obviously not going to be on Team Canada for their Olympic roster. But I'm more inclined to like take a wait-and-see approach, but I might have to jump here quickly on Connor Ingram because, Jake, I think there's untapped potential. I know he's had a bad year, but not too long ago, he's actually a pretty steady netminder.
And we don't know the extent of this Jari injury, although anytime a goaltender gets hurt, and I watched it, it didn't look like much, but doesn't take much for these guys to be out long term, right? And it's unfortunate because I'm a Jari owner in a couple leagues. I was excited about the boost from Pittsburgh to Edmonton, and then sure enough, bang, he gets hurt just like that. So I think I'm with you on, you know, speculative pickup on these guys or matchup dependent. And again, I like where Edmonton is at as a team right now. I don't know if they're fully where they want to be. I think they're slowly building towards that playoff version of the Edmonton Oilers, but it does feel like they've taken strides. And Connor McDavid, I know we talked about it in the early part of the season. You and Meany made the strong case all summer for Nathan MacKinnon as the number one fantasy player, and you certainly haven't been wrong, but all of a sudden Connor McDavid has caught up to Nathan MacKinnon and, you know, made this a two-horse race. It's been a lot of fun to watch these guys.
Right, and Drysdale's as productive as ever too, so those two guys are reaffirming their top five status. And one guy that just came back from injury, Nick, that I really like, and what he did prior to the injury, is Jack Roslovic. I feel like he boosts the secondary scoring. He's had some nice edge stats this season. Very productive, I think 18 points in 24 games, and came back, had a couple of shots, getting his feet wet. He'll be hitting the score sheet more times than not in the coming days.
Really nice pickup for Edmonton. It's worked out for them too, and it's it'll be interesting to see this entire roster moving forward, what they do with it. It sounds like they still want to add another top six forward, so you guys are so right. Oilers are starting to cook, and I think their crease is still a big question, obviously, with the injuries, but only time will tell on that front. Some other injuries to look at here from a fantasy perspective. JT Miller, week-to-week upper body injury. I wonder if Alexi Lafreniere, who we've tried to pimp multiple times, elevates. We'll see. Seth Jarvis goes down week-to-week, upper body injury. Jackson Blake, I think, is the play right now. He's on the top line with the Carolina Hurricanes. We talked a bit about Shea Theodore last week. I think the pickup would be Noah Hanifin there. Then Frank Nazar is an interesting one for me, Jake, because if anything we've learned the last week, it's that Connor Bedard deserves more cred for Hart Trophy conversation. I know he's not going to win this award, but Ryan Green is now the 1C for Chicago.
Point well made about Connor Bedard. I was thinking the exact same thing watching those few games right after Bedard got injured. I thought he probably was never going to win the Hart just because of what some of these guys are doing, but look at how important he was to that Blackhawks team. And then Nazar goes down, so like you mentioned, that depth chart is it's getting tested right now. I don't, Pete, I don't think I want anything to do with the Black, even Levshinov on the back end, who I think we really liked there for a little bit, you know, getting those power play touches. He did get a power play point over the weekend, but I don't expect that to be something that's going to be consistent while all these guys are out. I agree with Nick on Noah Hanifin in Vegas. If Shea Theodore is going to miss some time here, I already liked him before Theodore was down, and how much he likes to fire it from the back end, getting a little extra power play time. Just watching the Vegas power play with Hanifin on it, heck, you could make the case he might even be a better option than Shea Theodore. I really like that guy running the PP in Vegas.
It is crazy when you look at some of these teams that rely so heavily on one player. That's why I was saying I was a little scared off with Columbus. You take Werenski out of the picture, even for a couple of games, it's just a completely different team. And even a greater extent, Chicago, much less depth, obviously, than Columbus. So you worry there. And then you look at one guy who's been a one-man show this year, even without Will Smith, Celebrini just keeps this thing going. Now so he's good. Pulling Colin Graf around, along for the ride. This guy's putting up insane numbers over his past 9 or 10 games. You picking up this guy, Colin Graf? You ever heard of him?
I have heard of him. I remember, I think it was like a college signing a couple of years ago, but this is to the depths of no return, I think, from a waiver wire perspective. But since we're on it, let's jump into the waiver wire. First, we'll go to the schedule, Jake, December 22nd to 28th. Very peculiar week, if I believe it's different from next week. So a 35-game slate, you guys have to be conscious of this. You got to make sure you get your goalie starts in. I'm sweating to start this yes. week. Because I know teams are going to pull the old, oh, the day after, the first game after the holiday break, my backup's going to play, so be cognizant of that. It could even be the first game, too. So watch out for that. Before games on Monday, 13 Tuesday, then off until Saturday where we see 13 games, and then 5 on Sunday. The three-game teams you want to look at, Chicago, Detroit, L.A., the Islanders, Philadelphia, Seattle, Tampa, Toronto, and the one-game teams you want to stay away from pickup-wise, Utah and Winnipeg, Jake.
I'm just hoping nobody gets hurt at Christmas dinner this year. The way that this season has gone with injuries, Nick, and some of the peculiar injuries that we've seen, everybody be very, very careful at their Christmas dinners going over the next few weeks. I don't want to see any of my guys hurt coming out of it. Okay, just take it easy, have a little bit of fun, but not too much fun. I do kind of like the Flyers to kick off the week a little bit here, Nick. You know, I think there's a couple guys they could pick. They
talk
play Monday.
Revenge game.
Talk it revenge game. They play Monday, Tuesday. You get off to a decent start to your week. So you use a pickup or two. Jamie Drysdale getting looks on power play one. He's been a little bit productive here recently. A guy like Bobby Brink, maybe Noah Cates if you're looking into a deep league. I think the Flyers are a team I'm looking to attack, at least for the Monday, Tuesday, early part of the week.
I like it. So, Pete, week 12, I know we've glossed over some of the names. Why don't you start with the guy you just brought up in San Jose, Colin Graf?
Right, so he's playing on the top line with Celebrini. He's got points in 7 of his past 8 games with 9 points and 17 shots in the span. He's covering hits this season. He's got 34 and 35 games. And again, with Will Smith kind of TBD for the next week or two, you'd have to imagine San Jose will probably get him some rest, you know, heading into the new year before the stretch run of the season. But 6 high-danger goals this year for Graf. The high danger shots, he's got 24. So he was kind of touching those zones even before he was promoted. And now he's obviously magnifying what he can do with one of the best players in the league.
And it doesn't hurt that he's named after a type of skate as well. The old Graf skates. I used to rock those. Yeah, shout out Graf. So that's a good, it's a good hockey name for Colin Graf there, Pete. You got a couple of veteran Minnesota Wild on your list this week. It feels like there's a lot to go around in Minnesota. Hartman's been really good, but you've got two veterans that seem to be still producing in this offense.
Right. So we talked about Hartman last week. He has actually, he's a must-own player in fantasy right now after what he's done with the category coverage over the past week. But Zuccarello's really productive. He gets that Kaprizov exposure when he's healthy, 14 points in 17 games with 4 on the power play this season. And then Marcus Johansson's been shooting a little bit more lately, which you like to see. I feel like he's always been a pass-first guy in his career, and he's got the speed on his side. He's 92nd percentile on max skating speed, 94th percentile in the 20-plus mile-per-hour speed burst. So they come at you in so many different ways. And Minnesota, now that they have Quinn Hughes, just has that ripple effect. Anybody in Minnesota's top 9 forward group, you might want to tap into any way you can in fantasy right now.
Even that Vladimir Tarasenko, guys, he is playing really, really well. Looked awesome in those throwback jerseys to the West Walls era on the weekend. And really, you know, game I was really looking forward to against Colorado. The Avalanche are like, no, we got this. But Tarasenko is another guy I would look at right now. You know, I look at my multiple fantasy rosters and my entire teams are just all hurt. It's pretty wild trying to stay afloat. But especially on the blue line, Pete, can you help us out there?
Yeah, sure. So Sean Durzi is a guy that has missed a lot of time because of injury, but he's playing on Utah. When he's healthy, he covers blocks, he covers points. He's got a 5-game point streak, assists in 4 straight. So you could look at him in the props market for any of those categories. And then he's on the top pair with Mikhail Sergachev, and he has one of the best offensive zone time percentages among defensemen this season, 92nd percentile. So it's a small sample size with him, but it's another one of those guys, right, that we liked through the years when he, what was he, with LA for the start of his career, and then he went to Arizona. We always liked his ceiling, and now he's getting a chance to be a top pair guy in Utah, and he's running with it right now. I hope he stays healthy.
One name on your list that jumped out to me right away, Pete, was Fabian Zetterlund in Ottawa. This is a player that I've always really liked. It just hadn't happened for him this year. It's been tough for him to find a role in that offense. Feels like he's found something. I mean, the point production over the last few games has been really nice, and maybe it could be time to scoop in while his ownership's still low, right?
He's had a couple of monster multi-point games. He had a six-shot game the other day, a three-point game yesterday, after we told you to pick him up in the Sunday Scoops pickups to try to win your week. Hopefully he did that for you. He's playing on the top line with Brady Tkachuk and Tim Stützle. And also power play too. This is something that ever since the trade last year, for some reason, he was like, me and he would always say it when we were talking about Zetterlund. He's like, he doesn't see any power play time. Now he's starting to see some power play time, and he's had three power play points over his past two games on the second unit. We're not even asking for PP1. Just give him some PP2. I think he deserves it, and he's showing that right now for Ottawa.
I love that. I want to stay in that division. Your Buffalo Sabres, Pete, we can call them your Buffalo Sabres. Just the crease in general, who would you look at in fantasy right now? And I want to give a shout out for what they got going in Buffalo, obviously.
Right. So we've been pumping up Alex Lyon. He's kept his streak going. Even UPL came in yesterday, had a couple of really nice saves to keep it going and win that game against the Devils. We talked about Connor Ingram, only 7% rostered. Again, it's a guy where one more win, he'll be up to 30, 40% rostered, and it'll be too late on Connor Ingram. So maybe, like Nick said, tap into that pedigree and what he's done at least that one season in the past. Jacob Fowler certainly emerging as the number one in Montreal, and I think that, you know, you just look at overall the Eastern Conference, the bottom teams in the Western Conference are pretty bad. The bottom teams in the Eastern Conference still have fantasy value, so even if it's a Jake Allen, Fowler, UPL, like there's some value in these guys, at least for streaming spots.
Nick, slowly but surely, everyone on this podcast is getting bit by the Sabres virus. It started with Bobby Bender, and now it's Pete Jensen. I'm afraid for us. We might get the bite at some point, but the boys are looking pretty smart right now. The Sabres are playing well. It's good to see. It's something we're going to continue to track. Pete, any goaltenders? I know we've touched a little bit on what's going on in Edmonton, but any goalies that can help us out? Like Nick made the point earlier, it's going to be a bit of a tricky couple weeks here to navigate around the holidays.
Yeah, so I have Casey DeSmith in one league. That's another guy I would say is pretty reliable so far this season. And, you know, you might even want to – I know the Rangers have been kind of a mess, but I feel like most times when Jonathan Quick gets a spot start, he's a good streaming option. I mean, it starts to fall off after there. You see Joel Hofer has had, a couple three shutouts this season, 7 wins in 17 games. The problem is I don't really trust the Blues offense this season, and they're still dealing with injuries to Holloway and Kyrou and stuff like that. But I think that Jordan Binnington this year is having a real down year, and I think that Hofer is starting to emerge as at least a 1A, and he'll sometimes win the game for you on his own. Like, he won't even rely on his offense for goal support.
Awesome stuff. NHL.com/fantasy, where you can check out the entire Week 12 waiver wire list. I'm happy you brought up St. Louis. Some questions in the mailbag element about, you know, what to do with Jordan Binnington. We're almost approaching a drop session on him, but I want to get a bit into Toronto, Jake. I think something's got to be coming down the pipe, and I know it's the holiday season. I know it's Christmas, but somebody's getting canned soon, whether it's Scott Arneil in Winnipeg or Craig Berube in Toronto. And some questions here about what to do with the Stars in Toronto, who have been really, really struggling across the board. The Nyses, the Tavareses, Willie Nylander's mired, I think, in an 11-game or a 9-game slump right now. Matthews looks like a shell of himself. How would you attack the Maple Leafs right now?
I'm seeing tons of questions in the mailbag about exactly that. I mean, a guy like Austin Matthews, I still think he's got the name value. If you feel like this is the Matthews you're going to get all season, it might be 70 cents on the dollar, but I still think you could trade him and get something decent back, because there'd be someone in your league that would think, well, it's Austin Matthews. You know, he's going to eventually click with the goal scoring. So maybe it depends on your belief in this roster. Nick, you mentioned it. Possible coaching change coming down. I mean, it's just speculation at this point, but it makes sense. Teams that underachieve, that have high expectations, it's your only option during the season. I mean, you can't trade players on the roster. It's very hard to make a big move like that. And I think you eventually reach a cutoff point if you're a team like Toronto, or you make the point with Winnipeg where, okay, the only button we can really push to salvage this season, even if it might not be the coach's fault, is to fire the coach. So I think that's something I'm looking for here over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to the game, Pittsburgh and Toronto, on Tuesday afternoon. They can't win that game against a Penguins team that can't defend. I don't know. There could be a Christmas firing coming down the pipeline here pretty soon.
Which you hate to see, but obviously the payoff is pretty extraordinary for these people, so you don't feel that bad. But, Pete, I like the buy-low appeal, especially on a guy like Willie Nylander. Like, he has not played this bad in a long, long time. But if you recall earlier on in the year, he was like 3 points every night. So I think we've got a little pocket, a little wonder right now where there's some buy-low appeal on both rosters, Winnipeg and Toronto here. Do you agree?
I think based on what I've seen the past couple of years and consistency, I mean, you watch this team even more than I do, but Nylander's been better than Matthews and more consistent than him. So if I was going to buy low on one of the two, I would choose Willie.
Fair enough. Treat yourself this holiday season to some iconic and unexpected hockey gifts. The holidays are a great time to begin new traditions and give a nod to old traditions. Celebrate history with Centennial products for the Chicago Blackhawks, Detroit Red Wings, and New York Rangers. Pick up some collectible items like pennants and hockey puck sets that feature the club's Centennial logos and rich history of Stanley Cup championships. Or show your team pride by boasting a hoodie, hat, or jersey with vintage logos. The original Six New Era snapback hat is a great gift and features the vintage logos of the original Six clubs. Learn more about these products from the NHL Shop Holiday Gift Guide. You can find all these items and more on NHLShop.com. Use the code NHLGIFT15. That's NHLGIFT15 for 15% off your purchase on NHLShop.com. Exclusions do apply. Code expires on 12/31/25. We're going to hit the break on the other side. On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. Don't go anywhere.
It's a winter classic unlike anything you've ever seen.
It's going to be a little bit different.
The Broadway Blue Shirts head south.
It's going to be cool playing against two-time Stanley Cup winner.
To take on the Florida Panthers.
To be able to play our winter classic in Miami. It's pretty crazy. It's going to be an experience that never happened before.
Barkamp gets the shot away and scores!
I'm looking forward to the energy that it brings.
Cooley! Oh, what a goal!
This is going to be awesome.
The 2026 Discover NHL Winter Classic. Rangers-Panthers, January 2nd on TNT.
The scrape of blades, the clash of sticks. Hockey's more than a game. It's unrelenting, never give up moments that make you feel alive. And so you commit to the weekly ups and downs, the long road to the playoffs. You wear your heart on your sleeve and your jersey with pride. And when you're there for your team, the NHL Shop is there for you. Check out the largest selection of official NHL gear at NHLShop.com. Fanatics experience.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Pete Jensen with you. Chris Meany will be back next episode. It's got some technical issues back home. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner with Bet365. You can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. An official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Jake, I talked about it, the Rick Tocchet revenge game. I know the Canucks have been on fire since the Quinn Hughes trade, but I'm going to play Philadelphia money line against Vancouver on Monday.
Yeah, who would have thought the cure for the Vancouver Canucks would be Quinn Hughes leaving? Sometimes the league just makes no sense to me, and you actually get a boost when you lose your best player. I don't know what's going on there in Vancouver, but I do like that angle. I'm looking to the Tampa Bay St. Louis game. We did talk a little bit about Jordan Binnington. I don't know, as we record right now, who's going to get the call for the Blues between the pipes, but it doesn't really matter. I think I'd prefer Binnington for this bet, but I'd still take it if it's Joel Hofer. Nikita Kucherov, 2 points. This has been an angle I've been playing. I mentioned it on the previous podcast. Some of the top players in the league, you get pretty good odds for 2 points. The guys like David Pastrnak, obviously Connor McDavid, he's been money for that lately. Nathan MacKinnon, you got to pay a little bit of juice for, but Nikita Kucherov plus money for 2 points against this Blues team. I think he cooks on Monday night before Christmas, Nick.
I think the Blues are a sneaky team here in the second half of the season. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but they're going to keep you honest. They did that against the Florida Panthers over the weekend. So what I'm going to play in that game is the Blues plus 1.5 to keep it close. I'm not necessarily going to say they're going to win that game, but I think they keep things close. And then on Tuesday's slate, we talked about it a bit. I think I'm going to play the Phil Deneau anytime goal. He's expected to make his debut here as the Montreal Canadiens visit the Boston Bruins, or re-debut. So I like the under in that game. I like Deneau to score. And Calgary at Edmonton, I think it could be the backdrop for some fireworks. I like the over in that game, Pete.
I think that Edmonton is going to win that game by more than one goal, and I think that you could tap into Roslovic like we talked about, some of the other trends from waiver wire. I really like the 3+ shots on goal for Mason Marchment playing on the top line. Whether or not Werenski plays, you could get plus 220 for Marchment to have three plus shots. That's a bit less risky than the anytime goal after he scored in his debut. But again, I like the role. I like the element that he brings to Columbus, and I like the matchup here as well.
I'm going to be going to Beckett Seneca again, Nick. A little bit quiet lately in terms of the production, so I think we're getting a good opportunity here, a minus 110, minus 115, something in that range for a point on Monday night against the Seattle Kraken team that, to me, just isn't a good team. I think they're headed towards the draft lottery this year, which is probably a good thing for Seattle. I think they need a legit superstar to push that team forward, but I like Anaheim. I think they're going to score a handful of goals on Monday, and I feel like Seneca is going to find his way into the action at some point.
I have no beat, absolutely no beat on that Seattle franchise. It's just been a really, really weird start to them in the NHL compared to, like, say, a Vegas Golden Knights. But, guys, we'll leave it at that. Great stuff. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, guys.
Happy holidays.
I love that.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. It's been a great start to the season. A lot of injuries, unfortunately, but it's been fun doing the show with you guys and looking forward to getting back after it after a little bit of a Christmas break here. So I hope everybody has a safe and happy holidays out there. We always appreciate our listeners, and we'll be back, Nick, I believe, on the 29th.
That's correct. Yeah. If you're sitting here and expecting a podcast on Christmas Day, it's not coming. Your mailbag questions, you can keep them till next week. But that's right, Pete. We're back next Monday. Week 13 waiver wire edition, right, Pete?
Yeah, and hit us up at NHL Fantasy on X and Instagram, and us as well. I mean, even though we're kind of going quiet here, this is a fun time of year to step back and look at your fantasy lineups and, you know, place a futures wager on one of the different awards races going on. So even though the games go quiet for the 24th, 25th, and 26th, it's a time to actually make one of those big picture decisions for fantasy or betting.
Time of reflection. I love that, boys. Great stuff. Thanks to producer Bob Bender, for Jay Conn and Pete Jensen. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Merry Christmas, everybody.